Because you have put that hunger within our hearts for more of Jesus. We're here because we desire to change and be like him. And we confess the blood of Jesus over our time and over the room and all those that come in. Father, we thank you that this time is consecrated unto you, and we thank you. You will give your angels charge now in Jesus' name, in Jesus' wonderful name. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lord. Well, tonight I want to talk on some familiar ground, things that we are familiar with, but I believe, you know, God has a season how he speaks to us. And he hones in on certain things for a while because he's wanting us to really understand about things, about what he's doing with us, our everyday walk with him. And often this is how God works. And then after time, he moves on to something different that we need to know. But this evening, we're going to continue to look around the cross. And I'm calling this teaching tonight, Sin Must Be Crucified. Sin Must Be Crucified. And that was the message, that was the Father's heart when man fell into sin and unbelief. The sin that was committed had to be dealt with. God had to stretch forth and come down and meet man face to face to deal with that which separates him from the love of God. And thank God that he has done this and does this. And this is the glorious, wonderful message of the gospel. And this is why we don't have to strive at this, because it is God's mercy and grace that reaches out to us. And the reason that he does this is because one of the things that sin did when Adam and Eve fell, they fell into darkness. They no longer were seeing God in the way that they saw him before they sinned in the garden, communing with him. And so because of blindness, God has to open our eyes. And every time we come together, every time we come under the unction, the anointing of the Spirit, every time we come together as believers, God If we're open to it and believing, he's opening our eyes to see yet more. This is the wonder of this walk. And so tonight we believe that we shall see yet more. And what shall we see? No, not us, not those secret sins, but more of Jesus. That is whom we see, because he's the one that's at work setting us free, keeping our eyes looking to him and him alone. This is why I'm calling this teaching tonight, Sin Must Be Crucified. Now, we'll go to Romans, the book of Romans, because Paul has so much to say about this in this great book that he wrote, the book of Romans, and we're going to glean from a few scriptures in Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6. In fact, I'm going to start really from verse 1 through to, I think, verse 14. Why not? So that we can just get into this to familiarize ourselves. Romans chapter 6, and we'll take it up from verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who die to sin live any longer to it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him through baptism unto death, but just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but for the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. And of course, verse 14 is a confession of faith there. That is a confession that whatever we're going through, however we feel, we believe in what God says, and we can confidently say that sin shall not have dominion over me. For I'm not under the law, but under grace. In other words, it's not going to hold me, even if we may have fallen short. Our confession, our belief is that it's not going to hold me, it's not going to dominate me, it's not going to steer my life in a different course. But of course, we all also need to look at the context of what we have just read there. And we're calling this tonight, Sin Must Be Crucified. Now, in verses 6 and 7, it says here, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who died has been freed from sin. Now, we have to settle on this. We have to settle on what it says here. That sin has been dealt with. sin has to be crucified. This is why we look to Christ crucified. And as a result of this, of course, it results in obedience. In other words, we have to settle on the fact that sin, disobedience, has to be killed. It has to be dealt with. Of course, we know legally it has been dealt with. Christ dealt with it at the cross. He took the punishment of our guilt upon him. And now we are saved, filled with the Holy Spirit. God is working by the Spirit, killing it, killing in us. That's the working. We are legally saved, as we know, but we're still being saved in this life. We've been left here to walk, to overcome. And that walking and overcoming is in the flesh, in this life, and God is killing it. He's putting it to death. It's already been done, pronounced, but the Holy Spirit has come baptizing us to emulate it, to finish it, to do what Jesus said he had done at the cross. And that's why we're overcomers, overcoming, staying with it, enduring to the end, believing, walking by faith. That's all the teaching we've had, the deeper life over the years. But this takes years sometimes to come to that point, to that decision about sin or certain sins in my life. And the wonderful thing about this is that it's the greatest moment when you decide sin must die in you. Because that is where it starts, brothers and sisters. The Holy Spirit has come to convict us, to lead us, to guide us. And there's going to come points in our lives, in your life, when you have to make a decision that this sin must die in me. And God brings us to those places, those plateaus as we call them, in our lives, where we have to settle this. Whatever it is we may be battling. And the Holy Spirit will hone in on this. And when he begins to hone in on these areas of our life, what starts happening? A battle. A battle starts. And then we find that for a season we're battling, but eventually if we stay with it, the Holy Spirit brings us to that place of decision. That place of decision in settling it in our lives is basically our deliverance. Once you have settled it, you're delivered. You're free. In many ways, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane was settling everything. Of course, he was God, but in his flesh, he was settling. He was feeling the emotions like we do. He was feeling the pain, the anguish like we do. In his flesh, he was no different. And so we likewise, when we go to our Garden of Gethsemane experiences, all it is that God is bringing us to that place. It must now die. You have a choice. You have a decision. Do you either want to obey me or not? And I've said over the years, you will only ever obey God when the affection is in your heart. Otherwise, it's lip service. It's just religious. It's hypocritical. And we can say these things, but in our hearts, we're thinking differently. This is why we can sometimes talk about faith or confess our faith, but really, the faith isn't really there in our hearts. How often have we said, almost in a flippant way, well, I've got it in faith in Jesus' name. Well, you know, sorry, but sometimes that confession goes no higher than the ceiling. You're just saying what you've been taught to say. But the reality of that faith, the witness of that faith, Hebrews 11:1, is not really there. And of course, our temptations, our trials, whatever we go, will confirm whether faith is indeed in our hearts or not, because we hear it. We hear it come out. So God is ever bringing us to that place to settle it, that it must die. I'm not talking here about coming to a place or listening to this teaching even where what you're going to do is just restrain it or suppress it or try and overcome it in the flesh. You will fail. No, it has to be crucified. And even the Holy Spirit has to bring us to that crucifixion, that death sentence. We outwardly confess it, that we're crucified with Christ, but it is still initially the Holy Spirit who is the one who works the reality, the realization of it, the experience of it. He is the only one, and I'm going to speak about this later on, how you see that he does this. But only you can come to that decision. Only you can decide tonight whether you want to receive this word or not. We, by faith, faithfully give the word week after week, but you cannot force people to decide on it. That is where the free will comes in. You see, you may be mentally or spiritually convicted, but we have to settle what Paul is saying here, what we've just read. Back again, I remind you, knowing this, that our old man was crucified, that is you, what you were, with him. So with him, the one who was crucified, Jesus, at the cross, you now identify with that, with him. So you're not just on your own, it's with him, it says. That the body of sin might be done away with, that is, where your body expresses the old man in Adam. That is done away, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. So under the new Adam, you're no longer bound, held, a slave, a captive to sin. And that is even going to be worked out in our flesh. It is for the whole man in mind, body, spirit, he means here. For he who has died has been freed from sin. And the cross is death. That is why we make so much of the cross, because in verse 7, for he who has died has been free. I'm set free from being a slave, held under the law. I'm now free in the grace and liberty and mercy of Jesus Christ. That is the wonderful news of the gospel, is it not? And it's on that basis now how he's going to work with us. But we desire that. We ask for that. We come to those places where he's going to deal with those certain areas when he does. And he turns up the heat seven times hotter sometimes for this. It's simply so that we settle it with God. Now, I'm going to give some practical means on this, or practical ways. Firstly, make a decision that sin must be put to death. I know that might sound quite basic, and you may be saying to me, well, this is stuff that we were told years ago. Well, I'm going to make no excuse. It's coming up again, so there's a reason why God is saying it. But we need to make that decision that sin must be put to death. In other words, identifying with your death until that sin is dead, is crucified in me. In other words, areas of sin you stay with it. It's a source of prayer, intercession. It's not letting it go. It's not trying to suppress it, or the Lord knows, or whatever. It is staying with it, and as the Holy Spirit's working, whether it may mean prayer, intercession, or it might mean fasting, or it might mean a number of things, you are allowing the Holy Spirit in to work to keep you there with it till the cross deals with it. That is one way that the Lord will work. Until I experience that, the cross in me. And another thing is that our battle is often agreeing with His word. And that's the problem. So you might be trying to deal with death. You may be believing to identify with the cross, but you're not getting anywhere. It's not working much. And do you know what the problem is? You're not agreeing with God's word. Somewhere inside, you don't really like it. You're not agreeing. And of course, we know that for faith to come, we harmonize with God. That's what it means. It's a harmony. It's agreeing. It's being one in mind with the Godhead, because He is the living Word. But maybe that is the problem. We may be listening to the Word. We may be religious, coming every week listening to the Word of God. But the point, do we want to agree with that Word? That is another question. Do we want to agree with His verdict on sin? As He says in verse 11, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's a wonderful verse there. It actually means when likewise you also reckon yourselves. In many ways it means taking advantage, relying, knowing that, in a sense, that's what it means. It says, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's relying upon it. It's knowing that He's the one that initially has taken the move in the first place. It's what I want. It's what is right. It's what I agree on. It's what I've settled. And so when we seek God in that way, this is in a practical way, we shall be experiencing exactly what He's saying there. We'll be experiencing, for example, in verse 5, for if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. So there is the identification. There is the triumph over sin, which is that resurrection. Now, what is this resurrection? This triumph, this resurrection of Jesus has given to those born again to take over. In other words, His resurrection, when we're born again, has been put into our lives, in which He now takes over. It's not about our resurrection, it's about His resurrection, whom we are identified with. If we say, oh, I've now been resurrected because I've overcome this sin, I've overcome the cross, you are missing out what this is all about. This is the work of God that we identify with. We're one now with Him. His death is our death. His resurrection is our resurrection. Not my resurrection. It is the work that God wrought through Christ, raising not only Him, but all of us from the foundation of the world, because the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world, that we were found in him also. He raised us up also 2,000 years at Calvary. And that is the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And this is why when we see this, when we're born again, he's come to take me over, he's come to rearrange my life, and the cross has given me the life of Almighty God to me. His life is now my life. What God wrought through his Son is now in me. It is my experience also. It is this oneness that we have with God. This is why nothing will separate us from the love of God, as Paul speaks of in Romans. This is why this is so powerful, brothers and sisters. And this is why the Holy Spirit is getting us to meet our giants, to meet our sin, to meet our unbelief, to settle it, to harmonize with God's word. And as we stay with it, God crucifies it, because it is already crucified. Any sin you're battling, unbelief you're battling, if you really hear this tonight, it's already been dealt with. It's just we need to know it, experience it, and walk into it. And that's what faith is about. Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I have this now by faith in Jesus Christ. And this is why he chooses us from the foundation of the world, to make the resurrection life of Jesus penetrate every part of us. And it's interesting, because it takes the power of God to do this. The Holy Spirit cannot be in one room of the house when it should be in the whole of the house. And so often when we get saved, we just allow the Holy Spirit to come into one part or one room of the house, but he's not come to do that. He's come to take, consume the whole of the house, the whole of me. And when I accept sin, those areas in my life, that unbelief, as identified with him, his death, the Holy Spirit will invade and take over. And that's what he does. He takes complete charge of everything. Our side is not to resist him, to simply obey him. He has come to take over completely everything. How do we know? Verse 11, likewise you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Rely on it. Believe it. That is what he says. Whatever your circumstances, whatever you've done, whatever you're battling with, that is what he says. That is what the Holy Spirit has come to do and is doing. And that's why when we look to the life in us, he gives us his holiness. And not only does he give us his holiness, but he places us in a new spiritual order. That's why we're not the same anymore. We're the new creation. It's all gone. It's past. It's finished. My life, our life around. This is what he's meaning, and I am convinced that greater works will come as a result of this, when you have made an effective decision about sin. Then we shall begin to see the greater works. And God's working with every one of us. He's working with the bride of Christ, the first fruits, the overcomers. He's challenging us in these areas in our lives. And that is why we have to be reminded, and we so forget this at times, but I'm just going to read it out in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Lovely, isn't it? You know, we so often read that. The power is the Holy Spirit. He says you will receive power. What is the power that we receive? The power is the Holy Spirit. Not something he gives us as a gift. The power of the Holy Spirit on our lives is not a gift. The life that was in Jesus becomes ours because of the cross. The power of the Holy Spirit comes upon us. That is Jesus. It is bringing Jesus. The life, the character, everything that Christ is, who now sits at the right hand of the Father, which we heard a lot about on Sunday, that is what is brought to us through the power of the Holy Spirit to deal with unbelief, with sin, weaknesses, and everything and more. That's why we had a wonderful analogy of him, but sleeves pulled up. He's working with us. And it's all based on our decision, our will. That's why you see he's come to give us an endless supply of his life. That's why he said, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you. You will receive my endless eternal life. God, who created and made the heavens and the earth. That is what we have received and are experiencing every second, every moment of this walk in this life from him. Now, do we believe this or not? What does it say in Ephesians 3? And verse 19. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 19. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, do we really know what we have received? What resides, lives in us now, this moment, this very second? Because if we begin to really acknowledge this and see this, the power of God will deal with everything in our lives, that unbelief, that sin, even helping us if we have a problem with decisions to settle the word of God. He'll even help with that. Nothing's impossible with him. To them that believe. For us, there is no life except Jesus. There's no other life. There's nothing else. Nothing else matters to us. Nothing else exists or will exist except Jesus. That is all there is, and that's all you will ever need. Now in this life, we keep letting go, don't we? And in times of trial or whatever it is, we're just letting go. Every day when we get up, there's more that we let go, that we used to hold on to. Every day is letting go and letting Jesus, the life of Christ, live his life in and through me. But he never forces that. You see, he's bringing us to places where we settle it. We go back to the cross. This is why we keep our eyes on the cross, because the cross enables us to let go and keep letting go. Sometimes we let go, then we take it back up again. And it snares us, confuses us, and it robs us of our peace and so on. When we continue keeping letting go, that keeps us in the perfect will and plan of Almighty God. It's very, very easy to go out of his will. And we all do it. But you see, those days now are going. These things which we've held on to through immaturity, through blindness, God isn't having it anymore now. He's really honing in. He's really meaning business, because time is so short. The sons of God must be birthed. They must come forth. The Spirit is saying to the sons of God, you coming forth now. Nothing is stopping this, because we're destined for the throne of God. And we're leaving everything behind. Anything that hinders us, we leave it behind. He's unfettering us so that we can move forward, but it's ultimately so that the church can be raptured, taken away. That there's no affection left within our hearts, that we would look back. But in this life, we keep letting go. And as we do it, his fullness is going to invade us. It's going to penetrate every part of us. Nothing in us and through us will be left undone. Everything, every part of us will be of Jesus, manifesting through us. Through my speech, through my mind, through my eyes, through my ears, my senses, my walk, my hands, everything will be the life of Christ in each one of us, manifesting through us. Now, brothers and sisters, as I bring this to a conclusion, anyone who's in spiritism, in the occult, would not in any way take what I'm saying by surprise. In fact, they would be quite shocked to know that Christians are so ignorant about this, their union with God. Very little is ever taught about what we're talking about tonight. And yet the devil has been very active, hasn't he? They know how to give themselves over to a demon, a familiar spirit. And that demon, that spirit, will train them rigorously for years and years and years, so that that demon can manifest and take them over. You see, the difference with demons, those type of demons, they come and they go, whereas the Holy Spirit, he remains within us now. There's not that separation. He doesn't fall like a cloak, in a sense, like he did under the old covenant. And demons can work that way. They can come in and they can leave. They can come in all the while that door's open. They can bring in even seven more, the Bible tells us. But he has come in his fullness to invade us, to penetrate every part of us. Why? Because the world will see that we have been and are with Jesus. That's one of the reasons. And that's why he wants to make us witnesses, the church a witness. That the world sees that we're with Jesus. They don't see us, they're seeing Jesus. This is why the demons cried out when Jesus walked the earth, because the Father was in him. They were seeing Almighty God, the power of God. They trembled when they saw. And we are coming back to that, brothers and sisters. And it is on the basis of decision. It's on the basis of you deciding about sin and what you do with it. It's not oppressing it. It's not covering it up for a season or whatever it is, but it's coming clean before God. And you will find, if that is what you want, then the Holy Spirit is going to keep you there. He's going to keep you in his presence, and he's going to work, and whatever it takes, you will break through. Because of his power, you have received. The Holy Spirit in power deals with everything. We are totally dependent on the Holy Spirit. And he's there, he's in us, he's baptized us, and all and more. I know a lot of this isn't new. I know we've heard a lot of this before over the years, but I do believe that the Lord wants us to hear this tonight, because I think some of us are still striving, some of us are still trying. Some of us are still battling with areas or sin or whatever it is. It's letting go. Letting go of the fear. Letting go of wanting to be in control. Letting go of whatever it is that the enemy may still be trying to hinder us with. Of course, you see, the enemy is very vocal this evening, because he's trying to tell us, well, you can't change. You've been like that all your life. Well, it's a lie. And we have to tell Satan he's a liar, and he'll start leaving. He'll start leaving your mind. He'll start leaving those suggestions and whatever it is. You see, that's what he is. Jesus had to do that, and we're going to have to do it. And tell him to take it up with God, because it's his problem. It's not your problem. If you see that your life is in Christ now, Christ in you, then there isn't a problem. Christ didn't save you for problems. That's the good news of the gospel. So there are some things that we need to rectify, to get right thinking into our minds and hearts. And you see, this is why God sets us apart unto holiness. The Holy Spirit can only dwell in holiness. That is his residing place. That is where he is. The Holy Spirit can't be found in any other place. And that's why he sanctifies us. He separates us unto holiness. And it says we allow the Holy Spirit to separate us, to draw us away from the allurements, the things of this world that try to cause us to compromise or sin or whatever it would be. And you don't have to look very far for it. It's just around the corner. But he's come to separate us. Because the Holy Spirit can only be found in holiness, in separation, sanctification. And this is why he's working this again. Maybe you're not getting free from areas of sin because you still want the world. Or you still want some of those friends that God's saying, I don't want you socializing with them. They are a bad influence. One could go on in many, many ways. There are many people out there, sadly even our own family, who are a bad influence. And the Lord's saying, don't spend too much time with them. And sometimes we think, oh, but if I start to separate from them, it's going to cause such trouble, or it'll cause such trouble in the family, or whatever it is. Well, the Lord will work. But if you start using those excuses, then you've not settled it. It's the time to decide. And if we let the Holy Spirit do it, we're not trying to pretend before Him, then we're going to be quite amazed the things that He's going to start to bring to our attention that we have to settle with Him. Remember, I said at the beginning, man's eyes were blinded when he fell. That was the tragedy. God now is opening our eyes, and He's doing it stage by stage. Thank God He doesn't open them immediately. We couldn't take it. I have found myself sometimes saying to God, Lord, forgive me. You know still the areas of blindness in me. In Your mercy, You still hid it from me for a reason. But I know whatever blindness is in me, You are going to open my eyes. But one assurance we have is that God's grace will be sufficient. Hallelujah. So that question tonight, brothers and sisters, in sin must be crucified. And that's why we hold the cross central. Because when you look to the cross is dealing with your unbelief, hardness of heart, areas where I yet haven't settled it. All of this and more. The cross, as we embrace it, as we preach it, as we take it up daily and follow Him, that cross will deal with every sin in your life. And I base my ministry on that. And that is why it is such a good news, this gospel that we preach. Heavenly Father, again tonight, we thank You. We thank You for Your precious word. We thank You, Father, that all You ever ask of us is to believe. And on the basis of belief, You will work all the affections, everything and more that is needed in which to translate that belief into actions. And that's why it is that we walk by faith and not simply by sight. Thank You for Your living word. Thank You, Father, Your word is alive. It's even been alive tonight, working in our hearts, changing us, challenging us, showing us yet more what You're going to do and are doing it, encouraging us that, Father, whatever our lives, our circumstances, or even if I've sinned badly today, the gospel is still good news. There's still hope because I am empowered by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is Jesus, the Godhead, the very power of God. And so, Lord, we thank You tonight for this. I pray Your blessings upon us, Father, Your protection. Psalm 91. Father, guard our confession, that we confess a good confession. May we be empowered witnesses day by day, walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, covered by the blood of Jesus. Until we assemble again, we ask in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Till it finds fulfillment in the eye.
redeemed us with his blood, and who has washed us in his word. As the river ever flowing rushes onward, ever growing, till it finds fulfillment in the arms of the sea. Jesus, I'll find security, and Jesus is the one, brighter by far than any sun, who overcame the enemy, who fought and won the victory. Rushes onward.